Today marks 75 years since the end of World War II in Europe, VE Day. The war started in 1939 when Nazi Germany invaded Poland. The U.S. entered the conflict after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor in 1941. President Harry Truman delivered this radio announcement on May 8, 1945.
General Eisenhower informs me that the forces of Germany have surrendered to the United Nations. The flags of freedom fly all over Europe.
Joining us now is Rick Atkinson, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of the Liberation Trilogy about the history of World War II in Europe. Welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, how momentous was this day in 1945? What did it mean that the war in Europe was over?
Well, it meant no more dying. Tens of millions had died already. There was great jubilation both in Europe and elsewhere around the world, but it was tempered by a couple of things. First of all, the exhaustion that everyone felt after so many months and years of war. And second, the war in the Pacific still was a long way from being over. They didn't know that at the time. They did not know that on May 8th, 1945. No one knew, with the exception of very few people in on the secret, about the development of the atomic bomb. And even those who knew about it didn't know whether it would work or not. So that was a stark reality. The battle for Okinawa was underway on May 8th, 1945. That was a cave-by-cave bloodbath. And so that had a chilling effect, really, on what would otherwise have been untempered jubilation.
Well, and even if the war were over all around the world, you'd still be dealing with the first part of what you said, which is that they had just gone through so many months and years of death. I wonder when this coronavirus pandemic someday ends, will we feel the same way, that it's hard to celebrate something like that when you also have so much devastation?
Certainly true. And in Europe, it had only been a few weeks since the first of the death camps had been revealed in all their awfulness. It's hard to feel unalloyed joy when that much death is around and you've gone through so much as a civilization.
Now, you write in the Wall Street Journal that the commemoration of Victory in Europe Day today in 2020, 75 years later, is also tempered.
Yeah, that's true. And for us in the United States, part of that is that of the 16.1 million Americans in uniform, there are fewer than 400,000 still alive today. And they're leaving us at the rate of about 300 a day. One officer wrote after the war that no war is really over until the last veteran dies. And we're getting closer and closer to that point where World War II is really over because all of the veterans are gone. So there is that. And then I think there's also a recognition, an anxiety at least, that the post-war structures that were put in place after VE Day, the post-war, of course, began on May 8, 1945. Those post-war structures included the United Nations, NATO, the World Health Organization came along a couple of years later, all put in place to try to preserve stability, to ensure that this catastrophe could never repeat itself, that those institutions they've lost, in the minds of some people, at least their purpose, that they seem brittle. And that suggests that there's a potential end to what we consider the post-war period of World War II, that we're moving into a different phase, something that I think is much more unstable and much more uncertain. And that's partly because of a failure, really, of an erosion, at least, of American leadership. We have led for the past 75 years. And it's very difficult to assert with any degree of confidence that we're continuing to lead in the way that we did for decade after decade.
But would you say that for everyone alive today in the United States, we're living in a society that was basically built on what came out of World War II, especially when you start to mention all of those institutions that are such a part of our lives even now? When people are questioning them, they're still a part of our lives.
Oh, my gosh, yes, Jeremy. I mean, I think that the consequences of World War II in our lives today are so profound. Our national views on racial and gender equality, for example, are very much shaped by what happened in World War II. There were 19 million women in America working outside the home. And the mm-hmm. opportunities for women, the expectations that women had for what they could do are extraordinarily shaped by World War II. The same is true for our views on racial equality. There were hundreds of thousands of black soldiers, sailors, airmen who fought in the war. And they fought in many cases for what they called a double V campaign, victory against fascism abroad and victory against racism at home. And the civil rights movement really got momentum out of that experience, a belief that black Americans had contributed a great deal to the victory. And so I think that if you go down the line and look at the great pillars of American society today, it's all built on the extraordinary triumph, really, of the Allied victory in World War II.
Do you think that this coronavirus pandemic is as monumental as World War II, or will be as monumental as World War II?
Oh, I hope not, because in World War II, we're talking about 60 million dead.
Right.
In the Soviet Union alone, 26 million dead. I, you know, can only hope, along with everyone else out there, that this does not have that kind of reach, that kind of depth. But it certainly has challenged us, and it's challenged us in this country, our vaunted expertise really seems to come up short. We're hoping for the extraordinary capabilities of the American biomedical institution construct. And so we're hoping that we can tap into that competence, competences all across the spectrum to help knock this thing down and prevent it from becoming something that is as devastating as World War II was.
What about, though, in the sense that it challenges all of us in some way or another? Everybody is making a sacrifice because of what's going on right now.
Well, that's certainly true. My fear is that we're not being asked to sacrifice sufficiently. Sacrifice on a national level requires an articulation from national leadership as to the reason for that sacrifice. It needs to inspire us to sacrifice. In World War II, we had 291,000 killed in action, 400,000 dead altogether, including accidents and disease and so on. And, you know, in many cases, those who gave their lives, those who gave limbs, those who gave years of their lives, did so because they were inspired. Now, there was a draft, so they were also ordered in many cases, but to sacrifice for the greater good, to put themselves on the line for posterity. For those 75 years of peace and prosperity that subsequent generations have generally enjoyed. And that required an articulation from national leadership. And I don't see that. I don't hear that. I do see people sacrificing. I do see examples, usually on the state level. But I do not see a national level of conversation, of dialogue, of inspirational challenge to the country of the sort that we saw in World War II. And my fear is that until we hear that, that we're not going to be rowing the boat together in the same direction, as we know we can do because we've done it before.
That is Rick Atkinson, who is the author of the Liberation Trilogy about World War II in Europe, speaking to us on this VE Day, 75 years since the end of World War II in Europe. Rick, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.